I hope everyone is having a easy fast. We continue in Sha'ar Bitachon, not Sha'ar Bitachon, I'm sorry. We continue in the Beis Halevi on Bitachon. It's been a long day. We begin on the Beis Halevi on Bitachon. The learning today should be a Schuss Lenishmas, Chaim Elazar ben Shimshon Aryeh, as well as a Schuss for Fu Shleima, V'Chaim Moshe Yeshua ben Malka Chanda ben Minarachel, and Chanalei Abbas, Shein Do Rachel. So we saw last time about the idea that having Bitachon, or rather having fear, can be a self-fulfilling prophecy in the sense that the very thing that you're fearing can come true because of your lack of bitachon. And similarly, the bitachon can be the catalyst that a person needs to be able to be zoiche to the thing that they otherwise would not have been able to accomplish. So we're on page 8 in the Sefer and Perek Daled. Today we're going to talk about what causes a person to have fear. So he says, Vayira mibasar v'dam, when someone has fear of a human being, it's clear from the psukim, what is the reason that this comes? This comes because a person forgets Hashem. When people hear that you're not supposed to be afraid when you're in times of trouble, times of uncertainty, so and you're supposed to trust in Hashem. So people ask, what do you want from me? How can I not be scared? Am I able to control my emotions? So the Beis HaLevi now is answering this question. And the Beis HaLevi says that if you continue to fear what a human being might do to you, so that's an indication that a person forgets Hashem, at least to some extent, because if you believe that Hashem is holding you and taking care of you, so then what person would feel fear? The mashal that the Chavis HaVavis gives is that a person's supposed to picture themselves as being a baby being held by a mother, and the mother is Hashem. So when a baby is being held by the mother, the baby feels no fear whatsoever. Why? Because although the mother is limited in terms of what it can protect, but from the baby's perspective, the mother has the food, the mother is protection, the mother is warmth, and that's all the baby needs, and that's all the baby knows. And so when we imagine that we are being held by Hashem, so there's no being out there that's stronger than Hashem. And so what are we worried about? There's nothing to be fearful of. Our sustenance, our provisions, our parnasa, well, that comes from Hashem. Our shmira, our protection, that comes from Hashem. Our ruchnias comes from Hashem. So whatever we need in life comes from Hashem. So if you have fear that another human being can harm you, another human being can keep something from you, so then that means that you are not recognizing that you are being held in the hands of Hashem. So he says, like the pasuk says in Yeshaya, mi'ad v'tiri, who is going to be afraid? May enosh of a person, yamus, who dies, when we ben adam chatzar yinase, in a person who's like a blade of grass, that grass withers and dies. Atishkach Hashem, why does that happen? Because we forget Hashem, oisecha, the one who made you, noitesh mayim v'yosid aretz, he spread out the heavens, he founded the earth, v'tefachei tamid, and you are always afraid, meaning that you're not in control of your emotions because you are forgetting that you are, as we said, being held by God. If a person would truly take it to heart, that everything in the world, I call me Yizbarach, everything comes from Hashem, the and no being has the ability to change that decree, not to add to it, not to take away from it, even as much as the point of a needle, and not to make it come earlier and not to make it come later. And this is a key point. If a person internalizes this, a person will never be upset, a person will never be aggravated by others. And that is, and this is the idea that's brought by the Chavis HaVavis, which is that anything that a person is zoiche to, or anything that a person is decreed that they will not get, it doesn't matter how many people try to help you get it, you will not get it. And similarly, if something is decreed that you will receive it, then no matter who tries to get in your way, they will not be successful. Not only that, but they won't be able to move it up earlier or to delay your access to it, even, he says, by a moment. And so if we truly internalize that whatever it is that we hope to achieve, again, whether it's in terms of shidduchim, whether it's in terms of parnasa, whether it's in terms of health, and we think that some doctor or some shadchan or some boss is standing in the way of what we need to get, then we're failing to recognize that they can't do anything. They're just a shliach. And if they choose not to be the shliach, well, guess what? Harbei shluchim lamakom, it'll come some other way. You're worried that a shadchan is not giving you the time of day? Well, guess what? There's other shadchanim out there, and there's other ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu could set up the shliach that's supposed to happen. You're worried that you're not getting the parnasa you deserve because your boss doesn't like you? Well, guess what? It's not up to your boss. He's just the shliach. And if you're doing your shtadlus by going to work, it doesn't matter what your boss thinks of you. If you're supposed to get the parnasa, you're going to get the parnasa. Even if your boss tries and puts in all the effort to prevent you from getting a raise and from getting another job, let's say you go to another job and your boss, when they call for a reference, your boss piles it on you and says not to hire you. It's not in their control. If you talk and don't get the job, it's not because your boss had any control over it. And we'll even get into this point even deeper in the next parak. But basically, Rav Volbi says that this idea is brought down in Zichronos, in the Zichronos section of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So in the middle of describing this frightening judgment that a person is in the middle of, and the fate of the year is being determined, we add an interesting pasuk. We say, Ashrei ish shelo yishkacheka, uven adam yisam etzbach. Fortunate is the person who doesn't forget you, and the person who clings to you. So Rav Volbi explains that although we're being judged, which is a frightening idea, but we don't have to be frightened unless we forget Hashem. But if we cling to Hashem, if we remember Hashem, so then what are you afraid of? HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has your best interests in mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only doing what's best for you. And so if that is his mentality, so what am I afraid of? I'm afraid that this thing that I want to happen might not come to be. I'm afraid that I'm running late. I'm afraid that I'm not going to get this thing that I'm davening so hard for. Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has my best interests at heart, and he is, and all I need to do is have bitachon in him, so then what am I truly afraid of? Because I have all the ingredients in my control. Bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's all I need. And the Beis HaLevi here is giving us the key to a person strengthening his bitachon. And what is that? That is the emunah. That emunah, we talked last time about the difference between emunah and bitachon. But he says here that for a person to have the proper level of bitachon, you have to strengthen your emunah. The emunah that you internalize, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in control, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has your best interests in mind. If you internalize that emunah, so then the bitachon comes easier. Because what am I afraid of? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. Everything goes by the word of God. And so what is it that I'm afraid of? A human being has no control. A human being has no say. A human being cannot divert that intent in any way. And so the bitachon comes easily once you internalize the emunah. So the Ramban in his emunah v'bitachon compares the relationship of emunah and bitachon to a fruit and a tree. He says emunah is the tree and bitachon is the fruit. The more you care and the more you nourish and the more you water the tree, then the healthier the tree will be, and obviously the better the fruit will taste. Similarly, the more you strengthen your emunah, the more and the stronger your bitachon will be. And emunah is something that needs constant improvement. Rabbi Chaska Levenstein, who was the Mashgiach of Panovich, he used to work his entire life in emunah. And he once said, if a day goes by and I'm not mechazek my emunah, I could already feel the difference. And so obviously it's something that we have to strengthen. There are many ways to do it. In the back of the Sefer, in appendix, I think it's appendix M, he brings down various ways that a person could work on his emunah. It's M, yeah, appendix M on page 127. He brings down various ways that a person could work on strengthening his emunah. So just to finish the piece, going back up, the pasuk that he quotes is a pasuk from Eoy. He says, the pasuk says, Hashem is unique. Who can contradict him? So what am I afraid of? Like we said last time, Hashem li la'ira. Hashem li la'ira, ma'yasaliyadam. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants a person peace, nobody can turn that into turmoil, meaning that you have no ability, no one has an ability to upset anyone else's life in any way, even kehuta shamachat, if that is not already a decree from Hashem. So the comparison that we might use, that he brings down here in the Sefer, is if a person is wearing a bulletproof vest, and he walks down the street and someone pulls out a gun. So when you have that initial fright, that's because you forget that you're wearing some sort of protection. You're wearing some armor. He says we all live in the protective armor of Hashem. If we have fear, it's because we're forgetting that we have that armor, we have that protection. And sometimes we do. We get afraid, we panic, and we forget. We have to stop. We have to internalize that really what Hashem wants from us. And I heard this from Reb Shaya Kohn, my Rebbe, that when a person is faced with terrible news, for example, person gets a terrible diagnosis. In that moment, God doesn't want you to make 100 Kabbalas. We all think, oh, I got to stop making Kabbalas. That's not what God wants. You know what God wants in that moment? God wants you to stop and recognize it's all in His hands. That's all you need to do at that moment. If you do that, you are maximizing that moment and you are remembering that you have the armor. You have the armor. It's just reminding yourself that you are wearing the armor. So if you look at the opening words of Shulchan Aruch, where you open the Mishnah Berurah, the first words are right before he talks about how you conduct yourself in the morning. The very, very first words of Shulchan Aruch are Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen, always keeping Hashem opposite you, meaning that you're constantly thinking about Hashem. So Rav Volbi said that this teaching is taken really from the conclusion of the Rambam. The Rambam, in the famous work Ma'ariv Nevuchim, where he establishes that the more a person has Hashem on his mind, the more a person will be zeicha to this hashgacha. What we talked about, that you want to be zeicha to, sometimes to be zeicha to the hashgacha, you have to have the bitachon to get there. So at the end, the Rambam ends off, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen. That is sort of the key to hashgacha pratis, is always think about Hashem's involvement in your life. So significantly, Rav Volbi says, the Shulchan Aruch begins with what the Rambam ends, because the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim is talking about all these complex and difficult philosophical questions. But at the end, he says, you want to know, Saif Davar HaKol Nishma, what does Shlomo HaMelech end Kehelas with? As are the Kim Yirav, yes, Yes, mitzvah of Shemar Kizek Kol Adam. That's it. Just remember Hashem. Just keep Hashem on your mind. And so the Shulchan Aruch says, before you start halacha, before you start even learning about how you go about your day, you want to know Aleph Beis? Aleph Beis is Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen. And that's what we're talking about. You want to be a better yid, not just in bitachon. You want to be a better Shema Torah mitzvahs. You want your day to have meaning. You want your Shabbos to have meaning. Well, then recognize that Shabbos is not just a day I can't do a bunch of things, but Shabbos is a day that God gave us to connect with Him. And when you put it in that light, suddenly your Shabbos takes on a different meaning. Suddenly your interaction with your children, why are you disciplining your children? Why are you going to work? Why are you trying to do what's best for your kids, for your spouse, for your family, for yourself? It's all because you want to develop the relationship with Hashem. And that takes on a totally different mindset. And a person goes through the same activities in life, but it takes on a totally different mindset. So the natural connection of Perek Daled, where we talk about that a person shouldn't fear anyone because it's not in their control, is what he talks about in Perek Hey, which is the idea that when a person is suffering because of something that someone else is doing, what is the attitude that we should have in that circumstance? So in Perek Hey, he says, "Begam be'eis, even at a time, asher shalat ha'adam ba'adam l'ra," when a person is harming someone else, chalila, yavin, you have to understand, meaning the victim should understand, ki hakol me'ito yizbarach, that everything is really coming from Hashem. Ve'ein ha'adam ha'hu rak ha'shevet asher b'manish lechayavim. The person who is harming you is only the stick that Hashem is using to punish you. Again, I'll read that again because it's so important. Ve'ein ha'adam ha'hu, that person is rak ha'shevet asher b'manish lechayavim. He is the stick. He is the method, he is the shliach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using to punish the person that he wants to punish. Like the Pasuk says, we are Nebuchadnezzar exiled the ten Shvatim, and then he turned his sights on Chizkiyahu and the Malchus of Yehuda. So Yeshaya says about I'm sorry, I don't know what I said, but Sancheirav, the Melech of Asher, I think I said Nebuchadnezzar, but Sancheirav exiles the ten Shvatim, and then he turns his sights on Chizkiyahu and the Malchus of Yehuda. So Yeshaya says, "Hoy Asher Shevet Api, woe is to Asher Shevet Api, the stick of my anger." The Baruch Hu specifically calls Asher, "You're my stick. You are the one that I am using to punish the ten Shvatim. And therefore, it's not in your hands." So when a person finds himself threatened by someone else, Our instinct is to focus on dealing with that person. Again, talk about the boss, talk about the adversary. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a fellow, someone else in the bungalow colony, maybe it's a shadchan, or maybe it's someone else that you're dealing with. But the person who lives in bitachon recognizes that, what am I going to do? I'm going to appeal to that person. It's not in their hands to make any difference. They can't do any better. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to have the shidduch, so if I pay the shadchan more money, which is, let's say, beyond our ishtadlus, suddenly that's going to make the shidduch go faster or go quicker. It's not up to that. It's not up to that shadchan. I do my ishtadlus, and then I have bitachon, and that's it. And no matter how much I pay, it's not going to change making the shidduch go faster. No matter how much I beg my boss, it's not going to happen if it's if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it to happen. And so they are just the stick. And if we recognize that they're the stick, so what am I davening to the stick for? What am I putting my bitachon in the stick? I should turn to the one who controls the stick, who's holding the stick, and appeal to that being, meaning to Hashem. So this is an idea that's discussed at length in Chovas HaLevavos, who talks about a bunch of foundational principles, ikarim, that a person has to have in order to properly achieve bitachon. And this is a key component, he says, to recognize that nobody controls what happens in this world. Nobody can make anything happen in this world, except if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want it to happen. And so if a person does something beneficial for us, this is only because Hashem wanted it to happen. And when a person harms us, it's only because Hashem wanted it to happen. Even so you'll say, okay, so if I go and I hit someone, I call someone else a name, what is it my fault? Hashem wanted it to happen, right? So we should all get off the hook for every piece of Lashon Hara that we talk. So he says that's not the case. Just because Hashem decreed it doesn't remove the responsibility from happening. So you're right. You were the victim was supposed to be punished, but who says that you have to be the one to punish? The famous excuse that Paro uses. Paro said, what are you punishing me? Klal Yisrael was decreed, was it was decreed by the Bris Bin Absarim that they were going to be slaves for 400 years. So what do you want from Paroi? So the answer is, Paroi, who said you have to be the one holding the stick? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many ways to bring Klal Yisrael into Avodas Perech. Didn't have to be by your hand. So just because someone is harming you doesn't let that person off the hook. But also that from our perspective, from the victim's perspective, or from the person who is benefiting from their perspective, we have to recognize that they are not the ultimate provider of that negative or that positive. It's ultimately coming from Hashem. Let's continue. He's on page 12. It says further in another pasuk, "Hayisbar boy, does the axe take pride in the fact that someone is using it to chop, right? If you pick up an axe and you chop with it, so does the axe feel good that it's chopping wood? Of course not, because the axe can't do it without the person who's wielding it. The imkain, and if so, kishadam. So when a person turns to the person who's harming them, and you try to implore and ask them for mercy, instead of turning your heart to seek help from Hashem, you're basically, this is someone who's, you have two siblings fighting, and one sibling picks up a stick and hits the brother. So you have the older brother hits the younger brother with a stick. So imagine the younger brother turns to the stick and says, "Stick, please stop hitting me." You see, you laugh. You say, "That's foolish. It's silly. What are you begging to the stick? You gotta either get your parent to help you, or you got to beg Rachmanis. If your parent went shopping, you got to beg Rachmanis from your older brother to leave you alone for the next hour. But what are you begging, davening to the stick for?" So that's what we're saying. You're going and begging the other person. You have to imagine in your mind you are asking a stick for Rachmanis. So ve'ena noisin, and again, we're talking about now not doing your shtadlus, but rather you're totally removing Hashem from the picture, and you're putting all of your efforts into the person that you want help from. And that's what he's saying. There's nothing that's more foolish than this. Like the pasuk says, that Aram came from the west and Plishtim came from the east, or rather Aram from the east and Plishtim from the west. They consumed Klal Yisrael with their mouth. With all of this, Hashem did not remove his hand that was outstretched. Why? The people did not return to Hashem who hit them. Yes, Hashem tzvakas lo yidarashu. In other words, Klal Yisrael failed to recognize. They went to Aram and they said, "Aram, we need your help." They went to the Plishtim and they said, Plishtim, we need you to stop. And without recognizing that it's really coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in Yonah D'Yoyman, look at today. Israel needs bombs, needs weapons from America. So yes, to a certain extent, you go to America, you make nice to America. But ultimately, if they were following the words of a Gadol, and a Gadol says, you have to go into Gaza and you have to wipe out every last Gazan, because that is what is what God wants from you, then even if it would upset America, that is what Israel should do. Why? Because if you recognize that it's not really America, America is just a shliach to give Israel what they need, and Hashem has picked them to be the shliach, so then a person who is really connected to Hashem and is following Das Torah does what needs to be done, regardless of whatever the ramifications you may... whatever ramifications your concern may happen. It says, asking help from the stick is not going to help. Rather, it's just going to bring harm. Because now that you're failing to have the bitachon, and now you're not tapping into Hashem, so now all of a sudden, the thing that you're afraid of happening, we talked about last time, is possible to happen. And so that's how a person has to go about their life, to recognize that when something good happens, it's being done through a shliach. When something bad happens, it's also being done through a shliach. Now, the Chavis HaLevavos does talk about, and just as I said, when a person is harming someone else, they're not off the hook, because who asked them to be the shliach? So similarly, when someone does good, they're not off the hook either, meaning when someone gives you a benefit, you don't have a right to disregard that person, because ultimately they made a choice to be the shliach. And so you recognize that choice that they made, and you still show gratitude. It's still appropriate to say thank you to someone that helps you. It really came from Hashem. And what we're saying today is that whether this person wanted to help me or not, God was going to give it to me. True. But this person still made a choice to help you. And you have to recognize that choice. And that's why there's still an idea of Akaras HaTayyib, because you still have to be thankful for someone who makes a decision that they are going to be the person, the shliach, to help you. So the Gemara in Megillah says an interesting point. The Gemara in Megillah talks about the fact that at the moment when Achashverosh asks Esther, who is the one that is threatening your people? So initially, Esther turns and says, Ish tsar v'oyev, pointing to Achashverosh, and the Gemara says that a malach moved her hand and said, Haman ara hazeh. But really, initially, she was pointing to Achashverosh, because Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Jews just as much as Haman did. So the story seems to make no sense. The goal that Esther made this whole party is to ask Achashverosh to intervene and kill Haman. So what are you pointing at Achashverosh for? Not only is that not going to annul the decree, but you're going to be out of the picture. So the Vilna Gaon explains that when you have a tzaddik like Esther, even when they speak to a king or someone in influence, they really recognize that it's Hamelech. Who's Hamelech in the Megillah? Is really Hashem. And so in Esther's mind, she was not beseeching Achashverosh. She was beseeching Hashem. And so when she is talking to Hashem, she's saying, Hashem, you need to remove the enemy. Who is the enemy of your people? Achashverosh. But the Malach came, and the Malach moved the finger to Haman so that that could bring about that the decree was ultimately a no. But we see here from the Vilna Gaon that in Esther's mind, she recognized that Haman, Achashverosh, they're all just a stick. And she was appealing to God, and she was asking God to help Klal Yisrael out of that predicament. There's a couple more pieces here. I'll bring down one more. The famous idea, just to mention in passing quickly, famous idea of when Shimi ben Gera is cursing David when David is running away from Avshalom. So Yoav's brother, I'm forgetting his name now. Yoav's brother, you guys probably remember this better than me, but Yoav's brother was also David's general. Avishai, I think it was Avishai. So Avishai says to David, he says, I'm going to go kill him, right? He's being a Mari B'malchus. David says to him, is it Shimi that's cursing? It's all Hashem told him to curse. So the question that's asked, the Baal Tanya asks, do we ever find that Hashem told Shimi to curse David? Where do we find that? What is David saying? So Baal Tanya explains, no, that David understood from David's perspective, if Shimi is cursing, it's because Hashem put it in Shimi's head and gave Shimi this motivation to curse. And it's Hashem who's allowing Shimi to curse. And so therefore, David understood that Shimi is doing what Hashem wanted. What did Hashem want? David to hear curses. Yes, Shimi did not have to be the shliach, and ultimately Shimi was held accountable. But at this moment, David recognizes that Shimi is just the stick. And so I'm not going to punish Shimi for being the stick. God wanted this to happen, and I accept it. And here I just wanted to end off. It's a beautiful piece from the Beis HaLevi Al HaTorah. And Parshas Miketz, when Pari has a dream, the famous dream of the seven cows, the seven healthy cows, the seven weak cows, and he has the Torah tells us the dream three times. Once Pari has the dream, then he tells it over to Yosef, and then the third time Yosef interprets the dream. Now there's an interesting change that Pari makes in the dream. When Pari sees the dream, it doesn't say that they were dalois, that they were scrawny. He adds that detail when he tells it over to Yosef the second time. When Yosef repeats it the third time, Yosef leaves it out. So it's a very interesting change. Pari throws in this word, dalois, when he's telling it over to Yosef. It wasn't in the original dream, and it's not in the interpretation. So Beis HaLevi explains, before Yosef began to interpret the dream, Yosef tells Pari, I can't interpret dreams. Hashem grants me the ability to do so. So Pari wanted to test Yosef. So what did he do? He fabricated this detail of dalois. He made up this detail, which wasn't part of the dream, to try to mislead Yosef. Yosef recognized that this description did not apply to the dream, and therefore, when he interprets the dream, he leaves out the word dalois. But the Gemara in Bava Metzia says something amazing. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that how did Yosef understood how to interpret Parah's dream? From the word dalois. From the word dalois, which the Gemara says is another word for wheat, Yosef understood that the dream related to hunger, related to wheat, related to the famine that was coming. But it doesn't make any sense. Hold on a second. We just said that Parah's original dream doesn't have the word dalois in it. The cows were not scrawny. Yet he threw that adjective in when he repeated it. So how is Yosef able to use that to interpret the dream? So the Beis HaLevi says, beautiful. And with this, it really sums up everything we're saying today. Yosef understood that everything Hashem does is for a purpose. He understood from the way Parah was saying it over that the word dalois was not part of the dream. And yet Yosef said, why is Paroi throwing in that adjective? Why is Hashem allowing Paroi to throw in that adjective? It can't be for no reason. There has to be a reason why Hashem allowed Paroi to use the word dalois. And through that extra detail, Yosef understood how to interpret the dream. So Paroi thought, I'm going to confuse Yosef by throwing in the word dalois, throwing in that description. And that was the key to interpreting the entire dream. And that really, this Dvar Torah, I saw it, I said, such a beautiful Dvar Torah. That is how we have to think about it. We all have people in our lives who are making our lives more difficult, whatever level, whether it's within the family, whether it's from outside the family, everyone has their own example that they can think of. But if you stop for a minute and you say, they are a stick, and if they are trying to make it more difficult, it's Hashem that wants it more difficult. And if somehow I could remove them from the equation, that would not remove the underlying issue. Now we have succeeded in what we're talking about. And this Dvar Torah, if you remind yourself of this Dvar Torah, it's so beautiful. Someone is making your life more difficult. Look at Yosef. That is what's going to bring about the Yeshua. Because by making it more difficult, and you still overcome, and you still tap into Hashem, now you have an extra source that you didn't have before. So instead of being upset at someone who's making our life more difficult, I'm not telling you to run over and give the person a hug, but in our minds, we should be doing that. We should be saying that this is coming from Hashem. It's either a punishment that's wiping away my averus, or it's an opportunity to get the schlussen that I need to be zaycha to whatever it is I need in life. And so we should be thanking that person instead of being upset. We should be like David HaMelech, it's from Hashem. And Hashem wants what's best for me. And so I have no idea why. And maybe you will never understand when someone like Elena goes to a terrible machala and the person passes away. And we're supposed to understand that that was the best thing. We'll never understand it in this lifetime. But yet, we still believe that God knows what's best. I don't have to understand why it's the best thing, but I accept that it's coming from Hashem. When we do that, now we are fulfilling our tafkid in this world. Now we are doing exactly what the Beis HaLevi is telling us God is demanding from us in terms of bitachon, is to always recognize, no matter how difficult it is, yes, we have to do our shtadlus. Yes, we have to interact with people. We can't just close our eyes, Davin, and we're not on the level. We're doing that alone is going to bring about a Yeshua. We do have to do our shtadlus, but we have to recognize that the ultimate being behind the difficulty, behind the obstacle, and behind the Yeshua is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we recognize that, that's the whole reason why whatever difficulty we're in came about. And maybe it will lead to a Yeshua, and maybe it won't lead to Yeshua, but that should not be the definition for us of whether we were successful. So If you're running late for let's say you're running late for a wedding, you want to make it for the chuppah, and you're running late, it's terrible traffic. So you're starting to get all upset. I understand. I left early. I made extra preparations. It's happening, and we have the bitachon, and we still come late. We don't get out of it. Waze doesn't suddenly discover a brand new shortcut, and we come there late. That's not a failure. If we stopped and recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that nisayon, it was a success, regardless of the fact that whether you came late, that was a successful interaction. That was a successful event in your life, and a person should stop and recognize that, regardless of whether the Yeshua that you wanted happened, the best thing for you happened based on God's plan.